Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 9th of December. Our guest this hour is the author of a very important book, But I Don't Want Elder Care, Helping Your Parents Stay as Strong as They Can, as Long as They Can. Terry Lynch is our guest. Terry is the owner of Strategies for Independent Aging. He has been advancing the independent living cause for a number of years. He served as assistant to the director of the White House Conference on Individuals with Disabilities. He managed a federal disability rights program and had a key role in developing the National Disability Rights Network. In 1980, he received a federal government award for initiating disability rights projects in minority communities. He left Washington in 85. To establish his consulting and public speaking business in Racine, Wisconsin. And at that time, he helped his mother remain at home for the next 10 years in spite of the problems that she had, the medical problems and the memory disorder. And the book, in addition to giving valuable information about caring for and allowing people to have flourishing lives when they are older, his memory and his going through that with his mother, I think, provides a real human touch to this whole issue and also is makes him an expert in what he writes about, really. So he is involved in state and national initiatives to develop self-directed in-home services, serves on the Racine County Commission on Aging and Board of the Aging and Disability Resource Center, and is a member of the Kenosha County Long-Term Care Workforce Alliance. We'll be welcoming phone calls this hour, and I'm sure that we will receive many on this subject. It's 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and if you are wanting to send us an email, you can do that at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Hello, Terry. Thanks so much for being with us this hour.
Good morning, Kathleen. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Tell me about your mom.
Well, my mother was a native of Wisconsin. She was born in western Wisconsin and was raised on farms. And one of the fortunate aspects of our story is that she was known as a high-spirited girl. She rode ponies bareback, and she brought that spirit to her adult life, and I was fortunate in having a great mom and dad that she moved to Racine to teach grade school and met my dad, who ran a shoe store. That meant I didn't have to buy any shoes till I was 30. And when she was a very good teacher, and when she retired, shortly after that, my father passed away, and it was very difficult, but she got back on her feet and very active in a lot of important community activities, plus very social. But in her late 70s, she started having physical problems, and I was in Washington, D.C. at the time. She started fainting and breaking bones, and what we found out as we went along was that she had what the disease that everybody knows well now, is osteoporosis, which is a disease that leaches minerals from your bone, and she was fainting because of blood pressure medications, but we didn't know what that was either, and she hadn't told me about it, about the fainting spells. So by the time she'd been hurt a couple times, but she got back on her feet, but by the time I understood that she was fainting, and I wasn't at home.
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty far downstream in terms of her dependency because she'd been hurt a number of times. It was hard to come back from those injuries. So she moved out to D.C. with me, and then we moved back to Racine in 1985. She was relatively independent still at that time. She was very strong-willed and was very, very committed to not anybody do anything for her that she didn't have to have done for herself, didn't have to have done by someone else. But she fell and was badly injured shortly after we came back here. And from that time on, she needed assistance and a hospital bed in the dining room, and she needed a walker, and I was spending a lot of time trying to get her back on her feet. She started to lose memory capacity, And shortly after her accident, she became very confused. And so that's what threw us into the maelstrom.
Right. And at what point did you decide, and how hard was this for you, Terry, that you were just going to live with your mom? You were going to sit together on the front porch, and you were going to, you talk very movingly about figuring out how to get help for her, but you were there. You did your work there. You were sharing your home.
Right. It's what we did when my mother moved out to live with me the last couple years of my time there. We kept the family home, and I decided to move back here. By the way, moving back to Wisconsin was a wonderful event because there's such a family-oriented culture, and we got such tremendous help out of neighborhoods and from paid caregivers and volunteers. But at first, and so she was my best friend, and my dad was my great pal, too. And she was very gracious, committed to doing well, and very sociable. So it was easy to bring people into our lives. But the answer to how hard was it, the first couple of years were nightmarish after we moved back here. And very difficult for me. I was never going to give up. But I didn't know where to turn. And I, one of the things, Kathleen, is when I was going through this, I was saying, if it's this hard for me, what's it like for other people? Not that I'm that smart, but my background.
Your background was right in the area, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it was chaos. And I was trying to figure out what was wrong with my mom's memory. Why can we keep her from falling? She was in the hospital a couple times in the first 6 months. And then one of the times we didn't think she'd ever come back. So it was really bad.
Right.
And it was especially bad for her. But the interesting thing, one of the, I think the exciting thing about our story is that it got better, not worse.
Yeah, it sure did. It got better. When you talk about, and I'm sure this is very true today as well, when you talk about her fainting and trying to figure out the cause of this, that part of the thing that happens is, and you write about medications can have a profound impact on somebody's mood, whether or not they're depressed, whether or not they feel steady on their feet, et cetera. Right. It's a whole area for us to learn about, isn't it?
It is. I tell people that if I was president, I'd make a declaration once a week related to different issues. One of them would be related to health and aging. And the first one probably would be watch out for the medications. And medications are very important, but sometimes people have medications they don't need or the dosages are too strong. Doctors don't know that they're on other medications they may be taking. They may be taking herbal supplements and other kinds of supplements that interact badly with their medications. And so a lot of things happen, and they include confusion, falls, fractures. This is a high incidence of hospitalizations are related to falling accidents, and a lot of those accidents are related to medication. People get, it's not just confusion, but it's dizziness, it's loss of strength, and losing capacity to make good decisions.
Right. We, I want to jump ahead just a little bit because it seems to me as though one of the difficult things to do here is to allow us, as we are older and still have vital lives, whatever form that takes, to be able to navigate a system to get help. Not everybody has a son who is good-hearted enough and is able and has the background that you do to help our parents at this time in their lives. And I want to talk about how you found help. You went through, and money as well, because it is a big consideration. You went through a lot of money and you became eligible for government programs, but to navigate the whole system, to get people to be with your mom, and eventually you were very successful at doing this.
Yes.
You know, some were neighbors, some were help who came to your house. How did you navigate all that, and what did you find for her?
The early on, we were trying not to have help. In other words, we were like a lot of other families, which is she'd be injured, and we'd have Medicare-funded therapy in the house, but as soon as that was over, I tried to make it on my own, maybe have a neighbor come in, and she, my mom, could be on her own some of the time. And as that model disintegrated, I was getting exhausted and she was getting weaker.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to call a home care agency. I knew that's where to start, is to get someone into our house who knew what was going on. And by the way, in my book, as you know, that the I learned that caregiving goes well beyond helping people with baths and eating. Its powerful influence can be life-saving force in what goes on in the future. It can help you live a really good life, even though people don't think you can. So when the agency came in, we were lucky because at that time, Medicare supplemental plans paid for a number of hours per day. And also, as my mother started to spend more and more money, while we were worried about becoming impoverished, we then became eligible for programs called long-term support programs in Wisconsin, funded under Medicaid, and allowed us to have a lot of resources that other people don't have. But she had to spend all of her money to get there.
Right.
And when we got to that point, I was able to identify people that we could hire independently as well. And as I learned from the aides who came into our house that there are other women, my mom only wanted women to give her baths.
Mm-hmm.
There were other women who wanted to freelance. And as I learned more and more about medical help, medical care, and started to get more control of my mom's falling accidents, finding medication to strengthen her bones. And that was just through looking at the internet, asking questions. And during a time when it was nightmarish, I started to learn more and more about medical, being an effective medical healthcare consumer, and started finding people who could come into the house to help me. It was a situation which a lot of people don't want to have because they don't want to run out of money and they're not able to stay at home. I could do a lot of work from home and get out some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the chance to tell people that my mom survived my mistakes. Like, I didn't know that you shouldn't leave a confused person alone in the hospital at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that.
Mm-hmm.
As I started learning from my mistakes, gaining more control of healthcare issues, getting my mom back on her feet, what I learned, Kathleen, was the most important resource in our home was my mom, or the power of the human spirit.
Right.
And once I realized that and focused on keeping her motivated and bringing women into her life, men into her life who were pals to talk to her,
mm-hmm.
life started changing, and people started offering help.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors saying, why don't I bring you a casserole? Or you want me to hang out with your mom? Because at first people were saying, don't do this. And it changed to, oh, I see this can work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote the book not because everybody can do what I did or should do what I did and can live with a parent, but to learn from different elements of the experience of Lee Island and Terry Lynch, get information, insights that can help, I hope, a lot of people in different circumstances, a variety of circumstances.
Right. And she wound up being able to help a lot of people who were giving her care, didn't she? She offered advice, so people really loved to be around her. We tend to dismiss people who we are taking care of or who may need our help and forget about what they have to offer.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And it was a two-way street. When my mom passed away, my family, divorced, my family turned out to be 12 of the women who helped us over the previous 10 years.
Huh.
And they sat in the front of the church with me during the memorial service. Several of them spoke at the memorial service, and they talked about she wasn't just someone we took care of. She helped me with the problems I was having with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She had she had insights into my relationship with my parents. And one woman had told me earlier, while my mom was alive, that if people think your mother isn't smart just because she can't remember things, they're wrong. She helped me resolve a problem with my mom that no one else could help me think through.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, what they brought to her life and my life is beyond description. And one of the things that people have to understand is that men and women who do direct care work, hands-on work in nursing homes, assisted living, and in-home, don't get paid nearly enough.
Right.
And their impact on people's lives is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Many times. It brings power and hope back into your life. So, for instance, my mother is a beautiful woman, and she started seeing herself as not a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she woke up one morning, looked in a hand mirror, and said, "I can't stand to look at myself anymore."
Mm-hmm.
Well, the woman from the agency, she was actually a kid, the way I looked at her, 22 years old.
She's a kid.
That counts. Came in, and I told Laura what was going on, and she was very creative. She ran upstairs. My mom was in a hospital bed in the dining room, brought down some brightly colored blouses, my mom's favorite black slacks, and said, "Leila, why don't we get cleaned up, go on the porch and have breakfast?" So Laura helps my mom with a shower, and they start laughing and chatting about life. Then she helps my mother dress while my mom's putting on her makeup, Laura's doing her hair, and my mom chooses her aqua blouse. Kathleen, this is, for me, this is still like freeze frame. I can see every 5 minutes as though it's a slide.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom chose her aqua blouse, and as they were walking to the front porch to have breakfast, Laura had my mom stop and look in the hall mirror. And she said, "Not bad, huh, Leila?" And my mom said, "You are really something else." And what happened, an hour and a half after Laura entered my mom's life that day and mine, my mom's out on the porch on a beautiful spring day laughing and chatting with one of her new best friends and had no problems.
Wonderful story.
Those intangibles, both ways, are powerful. And that's why I urge people to get some help. My book is called "But I Don't Want Elder Care," and it's really to be rebellious against the concept that everybody's going to be dependent long term, and there's going to be a lot of burden on family members. But a little care early in a problem, when somebody has a problem like coming home from the hospital, just a little bit of an intervention can get a person back on their feet. They can meet a new friend, and maybe that friend will keep coming in a couple hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Terry Lynch is our guest this hour. His book is "But I Don't Want Elder Care, Helping Your Parents Stay as Strong as They Can, as Long as They Can." To your phone calls, we have one line open if you'd like to join us. 800-486-8655 is our number. Or use our website, our email thing here, and that's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to your phone calls now, and Barb from Superior is our first caller. Terry, hi, Barb.
Oh, hi there. Say, what a good program, Kathleen, and thank you, Terry. I was involved with long-term support programs in my area as a professional, and I hope to become involved again. And what Terry is saying, I have seen that firsthand, how keeping people in their homes and how they just become alive again. When you have fresh faces, sometimes the younger, you know, gals, and sometimes we have males too, but it does give a certain amount of joy to the people who are in their homes. They're so afraid of going into nursing homes. And then it also offers support for the families. And it's a wonderful program. And thank you, Terry, for bringing this subject up.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you very much for those comments. You reminded me, Kathleen has just asked me a question about how did I find services, and what I learned as we went along was that there were a number of low-cost services funded under aging programs in the state, and one of them didn't cost me any money at all. It was Respite Help, an agency ran a program where they found volunteers to come into the home. And a woman named Marie ended up coming to our home, get this, for 7 years.
Oh, my gosh.
40 weeks a year, 3 hours a night. And when you're caregiving, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the caregivers and the pressure on them, but when you're caregiving, 3 hours is a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that, but there are a lot of other programs out there that can help people, Meals on Wheels, transportation. There are caregiver support groups. There's people who can, friendly visitors, lots of other programs that don't cost much or cost nothing. And as people learn about them, in Racine, we've had volunteers who do household tasks, mowing the lawn or carpentry. Well, neighbors can mow your lawn,
mm-hmm.
And we learn to ask for help from people. But sometimes people move because I can't take care of my lawn anymore, or I just can't keep the house up. And there may be services there to help you do that, or there may be friends and neighbors who will help you do that if you ask. So I just wanted to add that to the mix of kinds of services that you can have from your community.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Linda from Wauwatosa. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm really appreciating this program. I was going to go out in the snow.
I'm glad you didn't.
Right. The thing is, and everything that you're saying is, you know, really pertinent, I'm terrified of elder care when I get older. I worked in nursing homes. I worked in assisted living. I worked in-home, you know, and I probably will eventually go back to it at some point. And I had a lot of passion, but I also have a lot of fear because of what I saw. And I think there's a lot of positive things. So certainly I wouldn't want to just stay negative. The one thing that I would be very concerned about in-home would be, you know, on a Monday, if Linda comes in, or a Tuesday, Mark comes in, and on a Wednesday, Jack comes in, and then Thursday, Melissa doesn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
The chaos that can happen. And if there isn't anybody in the house to make sure that your precious mother, when she was alive, and my precious mother, wouldn't have theft, because things do happen. And then that can be put on the person in their confusion.
Sure.
And so it's just a lot of red flags, unfortunately, because of all the experience that I saw, that I'm kind of tainted in a way.
Yeah.
And I certainly hope that we can work towards a better system, because for me, elderly people are the most important people. I mean, they have so much to give just from their whole life experience, and how we treat the elderly sometimes is just beyond my comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I feel, and certainly in all different kinds of states, the funding is different. My mother was down in Florida, and we had to pay cash. It was impossible to find somebody.
Right.
Usually nursing assistants come into the house, which sometimes that's wonderful, and you get a nurse maybe 1 hour a week, and that doesn't mean the nurse is better than a nursing assistant, but the screening. And I really think that the idea that you have of involving community and knowing people is wonderful, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's certainly positive, but I have this kind of tainted viewpoint, and I hope that I can work through it.
Well, I think all of what you say is very true, Linda. It's part of the scene, Terry. I don't think you would deny that, right?
I would not deny it. And that's one of the reasons I wrote my book, is to help people navigate these difficult waters. And I was able to network my way to very honorable, honest people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really encourage people to network. And those people knew other people who were absolutely gold.
Mm-hmm.
So I could leave my mother and take a 2-day vacation. And she would call me and say, hey, don't bother coming back for another day because I'm fine. On the other hand, there are problems with scheduling, as the caller mentioned, and it was a constant struggle to make sure that I could find people to fill gaps when I had to do things. A good home care agency can be a really valuable asset to you, because one of the things they do, if it's well-staffed, is they have backup. and they can call you.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I was able to have what I call the campaign going for my mother, which is we had neighbors. The pharmacist was very interested. My daughter can help you, Terry, anytime you want. Then a number of people who could come in and help us for a few hours a day. And but there, I was able to make sure that they were all really solid people, but there are various ways to double-check the background of people who might do in-home care. If they're nursing assistants, there's you can find out from a state website any circuit court difficulties they may have had. The police department can give you reports on some of the issues that they made up, some of the problems they may have had in their life. The state will give you a criminal background check. And one of the things I would say is call home care agencies and ask them for advice on how you find the best people.
Right. Thank you, Linda, very much for your call.
Thanks for the call. It's really a good, really a good point.
Yeah, it is. And she makes an interesting point here, too, with people, a lot of people living pretty far away from their parents when they're in need of help. Florida is a long way from Wisconsin and is even longer when you're dealing with the situation that you've been through and a lot of people have. That's hard to negotiate, isn't it?
It's the two issues that come up the most for me, the three. One is way up toward the top is driving. The second is long distance. What do I do? And that's why I spend some time, quite a bit of time in the book about getting a grip on life before something goes wrong. And if I'd come back and hung out with my mom a bit, and if she'd known that I was committed to helping her stay at home or at least live as well as she possibly could rather than just, okay, my mom's hurt, she's going to a nursing home, she would have been more likely to tell me, well, I've been feeling pretty faint lately. If I paid more attention to that, I don't spend a lot of time beating myself up about that, but I write about that to say if you could look for, if you can take some preventive moves, go home, see if the house is safe. There are places called independent living centers that come in and do free assessments of home safety and see if you can find people who might be able to help your parent out in advance of something going wrong. And one of the things I learned is that you can actually manage from long distance in certain instances. You can, if your parents in the hospital, you can't get there, you can establish a relationship with nurses.
Right.
You can talk to the doctor. Anytime a family member is involved and people know that there's a concerned family member, don't mess this up, or a concerned family member who can help us, the odds get better. And one of the things I have to reemphasize is that too often, but one of my principles is start at the beginning. And too often when something goes wrong, people assume that it's going to get worse. And there's not anything we can do about this. And since I live long distance, a nursing home might be the answer. Whereas if you could spend a little time, one of the things I say is if you can manage chaos up front, life could get a lot better later. Because having somebody in a nursing home that you love, is that doesn't mean that you're not involved, you could be even more involved. Then so what, for instance, one of the things that I hear the most is my mother has Alzheimer's, where should she move? Then I say, how do you know she has Alzheimer's? Well, she's 82 and she's confused. Then I tell them what everybody can tell their friends. There are a number of reasons why someone could be confused that aren't related to Alzheimer's disease, and a number of them are correctable, such as medication, vitamin deficiency, alcohol abuse, depression, malnutrition. And if you get a handle on that, all of a sudden, your mother can live at home again.
As you write, not all Alzheimer's disease is Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with that, Kathleen, because my mother was misdiagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And since I'm a former Fed and new state government, I called the State Bureau on Aging and asked them, so what do I do? Because I started looking for a nursing home, and they said, well, you didn't get a complete diagnosis. You should go to a geriatric assessment center. Fortunately, I live near Milwaukee, so there are several good ones there.
Yes, there are.
And they ran a test, talked to my mother, and said, It's not Alzheimer's disease. It's probably something called multi-infarct dementia, which is mainly related to small strokes. So they put her on anticoagulants, and her memory didn't get worse. And the Alzheimer's Association is one in southeastern Wisconsin. There's a statewide one. There's a national one. Provides a lot of information related to how you diagnose Alzheimer's disease, where to go for help. I would instantly call the Alzheimer's Association if I ever had questions about that. My mother's losing her balance a lot, so I want her to be safe. So I'm having her move. I'm going to go home to have her move to an assisted living residence. Why is she losing her balance? She's 82. Well, then I go through the whole litany of drugs, et cetera, et cetera, and then I say, do you know there's balance therapy? There is? And sometimes that will change the whole dynamic. And that starting at the beginning, trying to find out what's wrong and fixing it, but then taking small steps such as bringing someone in for a couple hours rather than move to a nursing home so you don't have to worry long distance, can save money. By the way, a lot of this relates to saving money if you don't have to move, or if you move to a less expensive residence, less expensive than a nursing home. You will save money and keep the flame burning, keep yourself going.
Right. Let's go to Ben next, our next caller. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Hey, I was wondering, what do you think if the Community Choice Act, say, was law, and how would it have possibly changed
the situation? What did you say it was?
The Community Choice Act, you want to explain what that is a bit, Ben?
Yeah, the Community Choice Act is a bill that would give individuals who are currently eligible for immediate nursing services or intermediate care facility equal access to the community based and access to community and attendant based services and supports.
Yeah.
It would be like a federal funding stream for home care.
In Wisconsin, right now, we have something called family care, which is Medicaid-funded and relates to that model that you're talking about, something called partnership, which also provides in-home services to people. And it's for people who are fragile, who have disabilities, are frail elders at risk of nursing home placement. And those programs are gradually spreading across the state, county, this county. We have a county-based service delivery system. And there are places called care management organizations. Perhaps you might be thinking of one of those organizations. And it is a wonderful concept. And a number of people are doing much better at home. And I think more emphasis on creative solutions using federal and state money once somebody gets to the point where they are out of money, rather than having to move to a nursing home, which is more expensive, more creative solutions in helping people stay in charge of their lives is a very important part of where public policy is going right now. And we have to learn how to do it better, and every state's working on trying to get it right, and there are a lot of good people thinking about it. So I'm excited about that aspect of choice.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call, Ben. We go to Victoria from Appleton. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful program. It hits home for me, and I commend your guest for really being proactive. And
thank you.
Basically, what I want to say is when you know as you are aging, your parents age, if they should be alive, and it is important to be proactive and do your homework and seek out all the help you can find, even if it takes a while. I was living out of state for 11 years, and in 2000, my mother was diagnosed with dementia, and I was hearing from my family that she was in need of being in a nursing home, mm-hmm. and I said, well, I'd like to come home and see it through my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I did my homework by, you know, connecting with the chapter in Oregon where I was living with the Alzheimer's Association. When I got home in late 2001, I took care of her. I was her home caregiver for a solid year, and then she started to do night wandering. My father is still alive. He was living with her and could not handle doing the night care. So we, you know, as a family, you have to come together on these aging issues of your parents. And, you know, fortunately, you know, the family was able to come together because we all live in the same area and of the Fox Cities area in Wisconsin. And, you know, after we placed Mother in a good home and did our homework, you know, looking at all the places, you know, there was my father left, you know, a healthy guy, but, you know, in his 80s. And, you know, it again, I had to look through his eyes to see where he was, do some assessment through the help of professionals, and was able to, you know, get the family to realize that the home he was living in wasn't safe anymore for his aging. And we were able to move him into a piece of property that my mother acquired through an inheritance. And it's a one-level home, and he is healthier than ever because of that move. He's 85. He just turned 85. But I want to just stress that even if you do not have a parent in a nursing home, many of the nursing homes offer respite care for caregivers, caregiver support groups that are there, regardless of having a parent in the nursing home. Again, it's a matter of really just being proactive and seeking it out. And, you know, your book I'm going to give to a friend who in town, I live in Appleton, who happens to be taking care of two parents who are at home, and she's living with them. It would be a wonderful gift at Christmas time for the friends I know who are taking care of their aging parents. And kudos to you for doing all the work you did for your mother.
Same to you.
And I think, you know, it's just, you have to have the empathy of knowing, would you want to be left at the wayside when you are aged, at their age, and really get in there and do the work to, you know, help your parents to have a quality life. My mother is now living in a good nursing home, being cared for in a loving way, and my father gets a lot of help from me. I take care of him 3 days a week, and I just called him today to make sure he wasn't out shoveling the snow.
Oh, my.
In this winter weather, because I couldn't get to him today myself. I'm snowed in. So, you know, you just have to really keep in touch and know that there are the wonderful resources out there and the books. So, thank you so much.
Thanks, Victoria. Yeah, Terry.
Thank you. That's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. Very excellent. We're going to pause for just a moment and welcome more phone calls. Our guest this hour is Terry Lynch. His book is But I Don't Want Elder Care, Helping Your Parents Stay as Strong as They Can, As Long as They Can. Our number is 800-486-8655. Or if you'd like to send an email, it's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go to your phone calls again, 800-486-8655, or the email address is talk@WPR.org. Tom is our next caller. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I have 2 points, and the first one is that while we had gotten hospice care from my mother, and they were wonderful and very helpful, we didn't think about getting in touch with them or getting some advice early on, even before she was qualified for coverage under Medicare. But she, for one thing, we didn't realize that there were such appliances as a toilet seat ring that you can put on the toilet so that they don't have so far to get down to the toilet. And when your patient falls down onto the toilet, they can even break a hip or hurt themselves seriously, but if nothing else, they get very sore from falling onto the toilet. And there are other products that are available medically that can help a person at that age to get along a lot better, and you just need to be made aware of it. And the other point I had was that when people get very ill or are very old, they have a hard time swallowing their medications, especially some of those long tablets, and my mother used to call them horse tablets. She just hated to have to deal with those. She had even trouble swallowing even the smaller tablets, and I have found myself that it really helps if you have a lot of tablets to swallow that you can use, like a radish or a celery stick or something like that to eat along with it, and it helps to move it along and create the saliva juices to help swallow. And even I trim off the little stems from the, like, romaine lettuce and have those available, and they provide a lot of liquid while you're getting your pills down.
All right. Thanks for that advice.
I'd like to make, if I could, a couple points.
Yeah, sure.
One is that experts are really grown from the ground up. And a lot of things that people learn, they learn from professionals, but they learn a lot of detailed methods for managing problems that other people might not have thought of. That's an example. I just want to say something about hospice. It's a underutilized, misunderstood service, which is a phenomenally supportive approach to helping someone die and helping family members. And hospice can bring even pleasure to life. It helps people through the process. It helps family members understand the process. It's supportive of both the person and the people who are in their family or their friends. And I didn't have hospice, and life would have been a lot easier if I had. And it is just something that cannot be overlooked in the last stages of life.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I have found from my experience with my dad recently is that a lot of this is difficult to figure out. You were talking about Medicare. I had problems with hospice care in terms of not knowing the intricacies of what was part of Medicare and what wasn't, and how many days you had to be on this program and that program. It's very hard to maneuver, I think, Terry.
It is. And the people are always asking about the Medicare drug benefit. How do we figure it out?
Sure, right.
Fortunately, there are some really excellent services in the state to help navigate some of those problems. Most counties have what they call aging and disability resource centers. They're there to help the community in general understand what's there and how to figure problems out. We have, I'm a member of the State Board on Aging and Long-Term Care, and part of the program provides advocacy in nursing homes and other places, but one aspect of what the board does is to provide help and information to people on Medicare issues, Medicare insurance issues, retirement-related issues, or they can refer people to a program in the state called State Health Insurance Program, which also helps people work through Medicare-related issues. But one of the reasons, again, I wrote my book is to try to break some of this stuff down. The websites, there are websites that are excellent, but when you're under severe pressure, it's better to have somebody help you figure things out.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't even know what's coming your way
until
it's almost too late. So you do need to figure it out before, which brings the point that some of this should be planned before you get old, or you should be able to have a comfortable relationship with your parents so you can talk about these issues, including talking about dying, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's difficult. People don't even want to talk about their finances. Much less, I'm starting to get wobbly, dear. I'm afraid something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the end of life is very difficult. But one of the things that is very helpful is to think about healthcare advance directives, which give people, family members, friends, the power to act on your behalf if you're not capable of doing that and carry out the wishes, your wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're not able to do it yourself, somebody really advocates for what you value and how you would treat it, the problem if you were alert. And talking about this in advance and talking about long-term care insurance and talking about how you manage your finances, all of it is critical to living life well over the last even 20 years of your life.
Sure. Thanks, Tom, for your call. And we go next to Nancy from Grafton. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Nancy.
I worked for 14 years in a county nursing home and an excellent home. And now I do private duty work. And I also did volunteer hospice care. So I've done a lot of this. And one of the things I like to say is that people who have money and stay in an expensive nursing home, a private home, you know, and then when the money runs out, then they want to get into the county taxpayer Medicare facility or some nursing home that is covered, that takes Medicare people.
That would be Medicaid.
Medicaid.
There isn't always an opening.
Right.
So, you know, the money goes to these corporations, and then after a while, then they depend upon the taxpayers. And another thing I have to say is that I had a fellow that I took care of, and he had been a businessman and a private fellow and kind of standoffish. And when I came, the first day I walked in the door, he said to his wife, "Who's that dame?" Well, as it turned out, we got along so well. I stayed with him while his wife had to go out, and she had a chance to go out and play cards or whatever she wanted to do. And he told me things that were so private and that he probably hadn't told anyone.
Mm.
And when he passed away, I sang at his funeral, and he liked to go to taverns, you know. He went down to Chicago, Illinois, to the horse races or something. And on the way home, I guess he took the back roads. And his young fellow buddy said, you know, everybody knew him on the way back. And so when the last song was, "There is a tavern in the town." And, you know, I have received so much more than I gave. And I do have a private liability insurance because I don't want anybody to think that, you know, they're in jeopardy when I'm there. And it goes by word of mouth. People who you cared for know that you care. And they tell other people.
Sure.
That's how it goes. And it's, you know, we're all in this together. And God bless you all for whoever does this kind of work.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. We go next to Cheryl from Verona. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Actually, I wanted to be sure and say a couple things before I get lost in my thoughts there. But I have a son who is now a young adult with developmental disabilities, and I have a mother who's in a nursing home. So I kind of see it from two different ends of the spectrum in terms of people needing assistance. And I, too, am very excited about the family care that is coming in Wisconsin. And I think that right now, like, for instance, next year, people are talking about all this funding because of the economy for infrastructure. I would love to see the nation really work very hard at moving a family care model across all the states in terms of the savings that can be made, people living within the community versus in nursing homes kind of thing. I think there's a great deal of savings that can be had there. And then I want to talk just briefly about, from my family's perspective, the emotional difficulty in caring for a parent at home. And from my perspective, the emotional difficulty of caring for a young adult at home and perhaps advocating for a lot of family involvement, but the opportunity to place either an older person or a younger person in a community-based living facility. So that what I saw with my sister who cared for my older mother, I saw a person who is loving, generous, kind, become just overwhelmed by that kind of thing. And I've always thought to myself, I would probably prefer to go into a nursing home than to destroy the relationship between myself and a family care member.
Terry.
One of the mistakes that people make sometimes is not asking for help, not accepting help, trying to do it all themselves. And it's very hard sometimes when someone, a lot of times, family caregiver is already pressed, so it seems that nothing is possible. And one of the things is to try to get those people to accept help of any kind, because what I found is someone just doing my laundry for me, or not just, that's a big one, or going to the store for me, would help a great deal. And also then there's the whole question of, can you get someone into a family support, a caregiver support group, which can be life-saving? The whole issue of caring for the caregiver is a demanding, complicated issue, and you raise it very well. And there are resources out there, and again, the Aging and Disability Resource Centers can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And are you aware of Disability Rights Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, my mother doesn't really live in Wisconsin.
No, I was thinking about for your child.
Yeah, We are pretty connected with all kinds of resources.
Okay. Mm.
And we're almost out of time, so thank you very much for the call. The book is available pretty much everywhere, Terry? Or
Amazon.com.
Okay.
Is the major outlet right now, Barnes & Noble eventually, and we'll be working in bookstores. It's just been out a few months, so
okay.
We're still in the distribution process.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. Terry Lynch, the book is But I Don't Want Elder Care, Helping Your Parents Stay as Strong as They Can, as Long as They Can. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour and to Rob Schroeder for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. You no doubt have heard about the workers from Republic Windows and Doors Plant in Chicago who are conducting a sit-in. They're sitting down and they are staying to protest the loss of their jobs and their pensions, etc. We will be talking with a professor from the University of Illinois and about this issue the first hour of tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the Ideas Network.